And you might like to turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And again, God, we've opened thy word. So help us. Help us in the light of where we are and where we're headed to take care that we might have the advantage and that we would have the reminders as necessary that might we might stay in tune, stay in course. And our God will thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And in Isaiah, looking into the time when the Assyrians have taken the 10 tribes in the north, the Babylonians are going to take the 2 tribes in the south, and Nebuchadnezzar, the times of the Gentiles, are going to take place. And in the process, all of history as it's moving needs to be mindful of what? Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And so, that's looking at our Lord gives the wonderful, wonderful word that he, our Lord, is going to go to the cross. And Isaiah 61, and the verse we just read will be read by him on the first time he goes to the synagogue. He's going to speak and give this message. He's going to open the scroll of Isaiah, and he's going to read Isaiah 61, verse 1. He tells them, this is why I'm here, to give you liberty, to proclaim freedom, to have you understand that God created us to enjoy his awesome, wonderful person in a most wonderful way. And we're to enjoy God and know God. And that's why our Lord is going to go to the cross. That's what he's going to do. And so that's the purpose. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, God going to the cross. So, in the process, here's the nations going, and they don't know. They don't know. I just read, proclaim liberty to the captives. And you'll go through lots of pages of history before you, who cares about liberty? Liberty. Power one company, country going against another, but not for liberty. Not for Peter, not for the people to enjoy the reason God created them. Not for that reason. God has set us free. Liberty. What for? We're in bondage. And God sets the human heart free. To what? For license? No. No. For liberty. To be able to enjoy the reason God created us and died for us. That's the reason. But you won't find liberty. You won't find it. Turn the pages. The nations now on planet Earth, which nation has liberty like we do? No one does. No one. No one does. We haven't. Liberty. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, the world was in very difficult times in the 1600s. Israel was no testimony to the world. Israel didn't enjoy liberty. The nations, the churches, and all the different system East and West and Orthodoxy and all that, Catholicism, We didn't enjoy liberty. Oh, there were remnants of believers that got a handle on it. But generally speaking, it would be very hard to find. So we don't have liberty. We don't have it's a terrible time. And the Bible is being printed, so you have a copy of the Bible. And you're reading, and you're reading. And you're reading about God and liberty and a relationship to be saved in a most wonderful, wonderful way. But no one's doing it. The church isn't doing it. Israel doesn't know it. So what are we doing? So us pilgrims, being back then in mind, us pilgrims are what? Boy, we got the Bible. And we can't read. We can't get all the systems, religious system, bucking us and keeping it. So we can't freely do everything and enjoy it. The system, politically, religiously, doesn't allow us to enjoy it. So here we are. And we decide. And we decide way back then, 16. Under we seek to go on. So we're going to go on. We hear about this new land over there across the ocean. And so us pilgrims are going to go. And we get aboard the little ships. And we land on Plymouth Rock and et cetera, and Florida and all that, Plymouth Rock especially. And for the pilgrims, and therefore, we're going to come. And what are we doing? We're pursuing liberty. We're pursuing God. You had something more wonderful than the religious systems are telling us. You have something exceedingly better than being governed by man, politics. God, there has to be, and there is, and we just can't find it. So God, we're looking for it. And they did. They did that. They crossed over at great cost and landed on Plymouth Rock, etc. And they were looking for freedom. England was there, England, and England sought to control, ultimately, as they sought. Governor Bradford, remember, first governor, stood and said, hey, we want to be just a little on top of a hill with a little light that the world can see. That's what we want to be, us little guys here, the Plymouth Colony. We just want to have a little light, to be a little light, a little lighthouse on top of this hill so that people can see, God, this is awesome. Your saving grace is something else. Now, so here we go, and we're developing. Here's our country trying to go and do everything. And the system, the systems coming over England, different ones, and have the taxes and persecution and rules and regulations and et cetera, et cetera. So seeking to pursue God and therefore seeking to pursue freedom. And so Israel isn't going to help us. So here we are on landing in America, and what are we doing? And so we're going to go, and we try to, we develop being able to own your own piece of property, being able to own your own house, being able to be governed and garden and do and buy and sell in a free way from a human standpoint. And they could do that. That's awesome. But in the meantime, they had taxes and the regulations from England and all of that were there. So, now, but they had God's word. They read God's word and celebrated it and read it and read it and preached it. That's what they did. Cotton Mather, all of them. Wow. They were listening. And therefore, and that needed a boost to help them, the founding of Harvard and Yale and each thing. So in the process, 1700s, 1740s, what happens? We need a revival. And that's where you have Whitfield and Wesley, Judeo-Christian influence on the Bible. And what are they doing? People are hearing, going to church, reading, reading, listening, listening, reading. And they keep reading. They keep reading all the wonderful things that God, they read in the Bible. And they're reading about what? The Exodus. God set Israel free. Israel was to be a free nation, to be an influence, Deuteronomy chapter 4, to the whole world, to all the nations of the world, were to see how to that God's saving grace had granted freedom and liberty to the human heart. Oh, but Israel failed. So here we are in the 1700s. And Israel is no example. And here we are looking, and the nations aren't. And here's our country being reading church, going all influence. So the Bible, keep reading it. And God sets us free. Christ died on the cross. And they read, and they keep reading all the wonderful truths. That's what they keep reading. And as they read the wonderful truths of God, they pursued them. They wanted to understand them. To some measure, they wanted to possess them. They wanted this liberty. They wanted all this freedom that they had now, and they had to put it together with understanding. And therefore, they did that. But in stirring it up so that you can understand, remember, this is the time of revival, Whitfield and all of that. Was there all these different ones, as we mentioned? There's great revival, Jonathan Edwards, all of the different things going on. So there's an awakening in the heart. Ben Franklin, as far as we know, he wasn't saved, but boy, he honored God's word. Honored God's word. Ben did. Yep. And he said it. God said this. So he knew that. And so here they are. Their influence is wonderful. They're being influenced more and more to a God. And the system is against moral in the world system. You want to keep us in the world system like nations are governed. You want to be like in the old days, in the leaving God out of the picture totally. And we don't want to be in the old days. We don't want to be under the system. So the revival was there, and then the Boston Tea Party and all that, the Battle of Lexington in April 1775, up in Concord. Ever get there, go visit it. Wonderful little place. Stand there and see a little bridge where the 70 men stood against the British army. 70 men stood there and held them off for a moment. They held off until they had to run. They did. And then the whole journey back for that British colony, British army, back from Carlisle, Lexington, and all the way back, coming back. Concord, Lexington, coming back as they did and getting shot at all the way down the line, being picked off by the people. And they it's a tough time. British should have quit back then, but they didn't. They didn't. So we had what? What do we have? War. We have war. That's what happened. Because what's it going to do? We want liberty. We don't want the system. You're telling us we have to have the system. King George, etc. We got to have the system. And God said nothing. They said nothing doing. And dear Patrick Henry, as you know, dear Patrick Henry, bless his heart, addressing the Second Virginia Convention, March 23, 1775, they had a big convention against British rule. That was the convention's purpose. And in the closing remarks, you'll remember Patrick Henry stood up and said, historically, give me liberty or give me death. Boom. That's how it was left. So now the days are going and all of the things are happening. Yeah, we're going to have to stand up. And so they stood up and went against and did what they did. So in the process of doing what they do and the way they did it, they're going to seek light in a world loving darkness. They're going to seek life in a world dead in sins. They're going to seek liberty in a world of bondage. And in seeking life, liberty, life and liberty and light. It means war. If you're really going to seek light and life and liberty, it means war. The world of darkness and evil is not for light and liberty, and therefore war. Gonna have war, wars, war. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, and so it's gonna go, and they're gonna go and write and go to war and do whatever. And the pressure is on. The pressure is on very much so to the people. They're going to have to go again and fight. And it was a good. The pressure's there, taxes, etc. And so there they go, and war is declared. Lexington, April 1775, war, war. So now what are we going to do? So now here's the world system, and what are we looking for? What do we want, us humans? And when they landed, remember they landed on Plymouth Rock and that, we didn't come here. America isn't founded defeating another nation. Other nations defeat it, go after other nations to get territory and power. When we landed on Plymouth Rock, we weren't landing there to overcome any nation. The American Indians, different tribes, but no nation. We didn't overcome a nation. We just landed on Plymouth Rock, and we just wanted to be little people and a little bit have a garden and be able to open a Bible and read and honor God. That's all we wanted. Freedom, liberty, liberty. Never find it. You won't even hear it, except here in this country, in our declaration. And thus in the process, they sought to pursue these truths in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So in the process of the pressure and all of these things we mentioned, and they're seeking independence. To be what? Dependent. That's what they want to be. They want to be dependent upon God. That's the sin, isn't it? Way back there with Adam and Eve. What did they do? They were to be wonderfully dependent upon God, the garden, and his wonderful keeping. And all they had to do was don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil so you can enjoy your wonderful freedom, your wonderful liberty. To enjoy everything I've created, including the dinosaurs and rhinoceroses and everything else, to enjoy the whole ball of wax, that's what they could have had. All they had to do is just honor God's wonderful grace, and enjoy God's wonderful presence. Liberty, liberty, freedom, freedom. To be able to have why God created us, why we're made in his image and likeness, for God to be able to be comfortable in your life in a most wonderful, wonderful way, because he made you not like a squirrel. You're not even like an angel. You're different. You're made for God to find his home comfortably in you, your person, to enjoy his person in a most personal way. Wow! That's what it's about. Liberty. Liberty. Wow. So hard to find. So hard to find. So in the process, they didn't want to be independent of freedom. They wanted a freedom from the control of the world system, except from England, et cetera, and et cetera, et cetera. So living under the, and so democracy comes along, and they sought and did their homework. They were very, 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 do you know, because they were so caught up with the presence, they lived in the atmosphere of where people were conscious of God. When you live in that atmosphere, it does something for your humanity that I found, that you know. It does something for you. It gives you an awesome sense of development. You recognize your person. You recognize who you are. You recognize a wonderful freedom to breathe the air, to be able to enjoy the sunlight, to be able to be in the planet Earth and eat of the fruit of the field. You enjoy just being, God made you to enjoy body, all your senses, eyes, ears, nose, trust, tasting, and you enjoy your world, to enjoy the world you created. Genesis 1, when you finish chapter 1, what does it say in the last verse? And God said it was all very good. He didn't say just good this time. He said, very good. It's wonderful. I've made it for you to enjoy a wonderful relationship to God, he said. Now think of that. That's what liberty is. It isn't license. It isn't just to do. And anyway, I got to keep going. Anyway, got the idea. So Israel. And so a democracy, you know, in the process is noted. How is the word democracy noted? Rule by the people. The people to rule. Rule, R-U-L-E. Rule by the ruled. Rule by the ruled. That's democracy. In other words, the people rule. The people run their own lives in their own way, any old way. And in the process, democracy. Democracy, its absence. Old Testament, New Testament, Septuagint, and our Declaration and Constitution. You won't find it. You won't find that word. No, they never use that word. You won't find the word independence in the Bible. It doesn't talk about it. There's no such thing as independence. You're either caught up in the world of sin, and you're caught up in the world system, or you're saved in God's saving grace. You're one or the other. There is no middle ground. I'm going to be gray. I'm going to be gray like the fellow in the war, you know. And he lived down there in Mason-Dixon Line, whatever it was, and lived there in the process of living down there. He said, I'm neutral, I'm neutral, I'm neutral. And therefore, he wore a Confederate jacket and Union pants. And he did that so that he showed that he was neutral. He was a neutral fellow. And so the enemy came down, and he happened to be there, and he stood up there and said, see, I see what I am. And therefore, he got shot in the chest, got shot in the legs, and each one shot him. They shot him. One guy shot the Confederacy, and the other guy shot the Union. That's what they did. He didn't do very well. He just didn't do very well. If he was alive, he would get out of there. And said it wasn't good to be neutral. God said there is no neutral. Our Lord says it in the Gospel of Luke, I think. You're either for me or against me. There is no middle ground anywhere. Either for me or against me. No middle ground. So you've got to take your pick. So God, what are we doing? So God, there is no one in your wonderful, wonderful way of doing what you do, the way you do it. And so democracy, the people rule, we mentioned that. And it is accounted, Governor Winthrop, first governor of the state of Massachusetts, first Governor Winthrop said, I'm quoting from him, it is accounted the meanest and worst of all forms of government. It is accounted the meanest and worst of all forms of government. Democracy, when you're trying to be your own boss and take care of your own life, when you are totally dependent on air, you're totally dependent on everything. And you just can't do it. Say, I'm going to live all by myself. All right? Now you got to have water, air, food. You got to be able to do it. You're only going to stand there so long. The only ones that can get away with it are people like Moses and our Lord. And said, for 40 days and 40 nights, Moses said, I didn't drink and I didn't eat up on the mount. And you don't need to. You don't need to eat. You don't need food. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you have physical life. That's true. You also have soulish life. But when your soulish life, the person, receive God's person as your Savior, you have eternal life. And eternal life never needs to eat. Do you understand? You don't need to eat or drink for your relationship to God. Do you? It's eternal life. You don't do anything. You just enjoy a relationship. Wow. So God, here we are looking, and here we are seeking to recognize and honor, as it were, our Constitution and Declaration. And you would recall in the second paragraph, I meant to bring out a copy of the Declaration, and I didn't steal it. It's a copy. When you look at the Declaration, they have them for so many dollars, nice big sheets, the copy of it. So I got them. I bring them out. They're pretty neat. I even have the one before the first one that Ben Franklin and Jeff, and then they marked up before they finished the second one, before they did the final one. They have that too. So those are neat things. Yeah. Yeah. But they're just a piece of paper. It's a piece of paper. Who cares about a piece of paper? What does the paper say? Why did men fight and die? They didn't fight to die, to uphold the Declaration and Constitution of these United States. That's what we seek to do. Why? Because that's the basis of why and here, where we're at. So therefore, in the Constitution, as you would know, reading it from the second paragraph, and these truths, these wonderful, wonderful truths. And by the way, before I do that, go over with me to, we haven't done anything, hardly, over to Romans and John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 8. Gospel of John and chapter 8. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, picking up, if I can, verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue, abide, rest, dwell, stay, all those words, if you continue, abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? You truly, truly are mine. You live a life, a wonderful, wonderful life that I've made possible. And verse 32, and if you do that, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yeah. Not licensed, free. Free to be recovered, to have recovered what you don't have, a unique, personal, wonderful relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to enjoy liberty in its wonderful reality, freed from bondage to sin, etc. Sliding down. Verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. 35. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. And therefore, if the Son, who doesn't die, who's always ongoing, who's always Lord of lords and King of kings, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed, truly free from your old nature, like we did in Sunday school, free, bondage. You can't get out of it. You can't stop your old nature, your old sin nature, Adam, word, thought, deed. You're bumbling 1,000 miles an hour in your head all the time. God has set you free from that. God has set you free from that. I'm set you free from worry, set you free from depression, set you free from disappointment, set you free from fears, frustrations, faults. He set you free. Liberty. You're free from all of that that rumbles through your little head and our heads. God set us free. Wonderfully, wonderfully free. Liberty. How many practice that? How many enjoy that? Why is it so hard? Coming across the border, do they care about liberty? Not very much. Do I own his own system? I'm going to be a senator or something, and I do whatever, and I swear by the whatever. But then I don't. Did you read it? Do you care? I'm going to read the second paragraph. We hold these truths. Truths, I just read them. Truths. The truth will set you free. We hold these truths to be self-evident, obvious, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these, among all of the wonderful things, is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Wow, it's all there. It's all there in that document. And that's what makes our country super great and different. God did that in his mercy. The church system was so messed up, and God allowed people to come over and get saved and read the Bible, and you have all the missions that came out of it, and all the different things that happened. And God gave a little space of 200-something, 50 years almost, of space, a little more than that, but in the process, 400 years, in the process, to have what? To have a sense to get to God somewhere on earth with all the nations doing what they're doing, Genesis 10, and all the times of the Gentiles working out, leaving God totally out of the whole thing. God, there's a nation, a place, the Incas, the Aztecs, the Mayans, they're all there, but they aren't doing it. No, no. These dear people that came over, and they're nobodies that were seeking somebody, namely God. And they came, and God blessed them in each way, in his most wonderful way of his providential management. And he did what he did and allowed our country to be what it is, to have something, to have such a wonderful document. And that document, like Ben Franklin said, oh, I think it was him, he said, what have you, in answer to the question, well, what have you formed, Mr. Franklin? A republic, if we can keep it, not a declaration. Remember you pledged, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the democracy. Did it say that? It doesn't say democracy. No. That's a word we've sunk down to. In fact, I don't even think we're going to have much of a democracy if the New York thing works. Anyway, you don't care. I get into that. Where'd it get down? What do we got? We come down. God looking. And God has given us a wonderful, wonderful freedom, a document to trust. Men fought. I wouldn't fight to keep the pizza shop open, but I'd fight for the liberty, our declaration. That's when we could fight for it, and that's when people wanted it. They wanted to keep it, and there's a little revival maybe in some form of a freshness in our country to maybe try to head back that way. We may not get very far, but at least a little bit. For liberty, for the wonderful freedom to be able to personally know God, to be able to sit here with a Bible in your hand, for me to be able to mumble to you a little bit about God's wonderful grace and liberty, freedom, not go to jail, not get arrested, at least anyway for a bit. Anyway, in the process, here we are able to do it. And we can pray to God and look to God and thank God in a very real and practical way. You aren't forced to have communion like still in Russia and different places, where we have to go, a little group of us, and have a little appointment, and we meet out in the woods, and I have my little communion set, and we go and try to have the Lord's table out there, out in the woods where no one can see us. Wow. We don't have that. We have liberty. We have the right and privilege of that document to enjoy and to exercise it in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so God, looking to you to help us in every way in the light of being totally dependent. Dependent, there's nothing wrong with being dependent. You have to be dependent. You have to be. Well, so when we were little totally dependent on our parents, whoever it was, and we grew up, and as we grow up, and that's the trouble with, you got to live through it, parents, teenage years, you got to live through it. And they grow up, and they want to be this, and want to be that, and they rebel. They rebel in some form, because they want to be free, free from the bondage to the system we're in. But then the trouble is, when you get free and you become so-called an adult, then if you haven't learned to be dependent, if you haven't learned you are totally dependent no matter how you cut the cookie, you're totally dependent on the air, the food you eat. You can't examine it and say, I'm going to test all this. Everything tells you something's got something in it. Everything has something in it, about it, and so therefore I suggest you don't eat anymore. What can I tell you? It's a system we live in. We're caught. And we have to be able to what? We aren't in the system. We don't want to be in bondage to the system. It's what we live in. And God has to keep us in it. So therefore, we look to God with thanksgiving, like we did the other day there, up at the camp. With thanksgiving, God, we receive that which is there. And with thanksgiving, we believe that you're our wonderful Savior, have given us an awesome, wonderful life relationship, and that we are able to eat whatever it is there with thanksgiving. God help us to do so, and we can do so freely, and God has to keep us, and God has to help us, and that's what we have to do, and we have to believe, and we have liberty to practice what we're just saying. We have liberty to practice it. I can practice believing. I can look to God and honor Him. And honor Him. I have liberty, freedom. God set me free from myself and ourselves so that we could know Him and enjoy His awesome person, to enjoy an awesome life in an awesome way. Yeah, that's what He wants us to do. Don't you want God? I do. That's what I want you to do. And to be able to do that. So therefore, God, over if I can, please, to James. And sorry we haven't done a little bit better, but hope you got a little bit, at least a little bit, to remind yourself. If you have to go to war and you're gonna board, get off the board and you land on the beach or whatever you're going to do, and you land on the beach, boy, you better know why you're going to get shot at and get killed even. You better have a good reason. A good reason why you're doing it. Liberty, that's what they had. James, in chapter 1, as you know, wonderfully, God help us. James 1, picking up, please, if I can. Bearing directly, I'll read verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. God, write the word on the blackboards of our heart. Sliding down to verse 25. But whosoever looketh into the perfect, complete, whole law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We're looking at God's word, and there it is. That's what I mean. Look, to bend down close, to if you're intently looking to see it, to understand it, and we're bending down, looking into God's word, perfect law of liberty that sets us free. The truth will set you free. We're bending down, reading it, and we don't want to forget. We don't want to forget. I don't want to walk away and forget liberty. I don't want to forget the relationship. So therefore, I keep the word of God at home in my heart, abiding in it, letting the word abide in me, and I abide in the word, and we're going to do. So the perfect law of liberty, I'm able to enjoy liberty, to practice liberty. If you don't practice liberty, you lose liberty. And if you don't practice it, you'll forget it. You'll forget it. When's the last time you read the Constitution, see? When's the last time you did that? I don't know. You don't remember. So God, you got to help us. Perfect law of liberty. Over, if we could, to 2 Corinthians and chapter 3. 2 Corinthians and chapter 3. As you know, Israel needed to look to God to get the liberty that they've lost. And they are not going to find liberty without looking to the Lord, which we read. The liberty, the Son shall set you free. Liberty, the Son shall do it. John chapter 8. So now, the Son shall set you free. What were the Jews doing? They were looking. Remember, verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away. In the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. God has fulfilled the wonderful Old Testament truth in the New Testament by his death on the cross. And man, all you had to do is believe, but they aren't believing. What should they be knowing? Verse 16, nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is bondage. It doesn't say that. No. God has come to set you free. To what? To know and honor him with all your heart. That's what he set you free for. That's why you're free, to enjoy God and honor God in the midst of the crowd. And then when you're all alone, God, our wonderful Lord and Savior, God and the truth. Therefore, verse 18, but we all with open face, we aren't nothing covered. We want to see God straightway, natural as we are. Now the Lord, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, as just read in James 1 and 25. But we all with open face, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord. We're going to keep changing, we keep growing, we keep knowing, we keep enjoying the liberty that is made to keep us free to be able to enjoy him. So God, what can we do that we could build a country on liberty? And they're trying to celebrate, rightly so, our anniversary coming up for the founding of the signing of the Declaration. Yeah. But, so God, what are we supposed to have built here on planet Earth? This nation, young nation, using the not the modern kind of thing, We're 200 years old as a nation, 250 years old as a nation. Yeah, we're nobodies. We're just a little kid on the block compared to the great nations of Europe and France and Russia and China. We're just a little kid. But God, God, you raised us up for a little moment to show your wonderful grace. So therefore, God, what are we doing? Luke chapter 6. Luke in chapter 6. And in the process, remember God has given us Luke chapter 6. And if I can, I'm picking up if I can. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you whom he is like. In other words, we've got your word, we've got your Bible. God, because of our wonderful country and all the history that we have come this far. Therefore, what's it going to be like? Going to be like, God, you tell us if we're going to honor you, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood came, arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house, that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Christ our rock. You don't move. You don't change anything. You enjoy a wonderful freedom that no one can take away. Verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Yeah, gonna rest my heart, rest our heart upon a God's saving grace. God, we have liberty to do that. We have liberty to enjoy you. We have a liberty to enjoy being saved. We have liberty to enjoy your love. We have liberty to be able to what? To walk with you, God. Noah walked with you. Abraham walked with you. We're to walk by faith, not by sight. We're to honor your presence and go down the corridor of time. It's our right. It's our liberty. We're free to pursue God's wonderful plan for our life. We're free to do it. Not our plan, his plan. We're freed. Liberty. A word, a wonderful word. That's our country. That's what has made our country. And the world has to look and see. And here we are, a people to honor his name. So God help us. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and hearts, and we're just fumbling along. God, it's a wonderful thing to be able to be freed, to be in the country, and God, to have such a document that was built the document rests upon your presence and your word. That's why it was written. And our God, we thank you. So help us in every way to have it. It's a 4th of July. It's a remembering our independence, to be fully dependent upon your awesome person, to enjoy the natural right and necessary dependence upon you that honors your glory and honors your presence. And our God, we thank you being our Heavenly Father. Thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.